This Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of reading Sefer Shmos, and of course learning in the Shul this week, graciously sponsored by Bubby and Zadie Strong, in honor of the upcoming marriage of Adina and Ariel Schneider, and of course by the Feit and the Walsman families, commemorating the yahrzeit of the late great Rabbi Abe Irwin, Zichrono Livracha. We begin Sefer Shmos with the understanding of Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of Chagai London, the current Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshivat Hezder of Herzliya, noted that names are not a small technical matter in Jewish life. You know, he cited a medrash that suggested that at the end of one's life, the Malach is going to ask him if he remembers his name. And the one who does not, will pass into Gan Eden. However, the one who cannot will be whipped with chains in chains until he or she can remember his name. Rav London explained that the name recall is really about knowing one's purpose in life is dictated by one's name and whether he or she followed through on it over the course of his or her life. You know, it's so fascinating that one of the reasons we have as a zechus for which B'nai Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim was Loshinu Esh Shemosim. They didn't change their names, which means to say they stayed focused on their missions in life as dictated by their names, very much in concert with Rav Chagai's understanding over here. So, of course, at the beginning of the parasha, we talk about how Shibud Mitzrayim happened. And it came about because there was a declaration that was made, Hova Nischak Malo, let us outsmart B'nai Yisrael, to which the Gemara in Sota notes that there were three main advisors that Paro sought influence from, Bilam, Yisro, and Eov. Bilam offered the evil plan, and he was punished that he would die by the sword. Yisro opposed the plan. He ran away to Midian to get away. He merited that his children will serve in the Sanhedrin at the Lishkas HaGazis. Eov was silent, and he was punished with suffering. So while Bilam's punishment is clear, why did the verdicts of the other two make sense? So the Brisker Rav suggested that as far as Eov is concerned, he chose silence because he thought that saying something wouldn't make a difference. So Hashem said to them that the same is true for one who screams while having Yisurim. But they scream anyway because when you're in pain, you scream. And so once he was punished with great pains. Yisro, on the other hand, ran away from kingly courts. So he was honored with the chance to have his children serve in the ultimate court, the court of the King of Kings, right? And in that regard, Rabbi Tzal Rudinsky added that Yisro, who couldn't accept that which wasn't Yashar, was honored with children who sit in the courts, which is an attestation to their Yashas. He couldn't handle something that wasn't Yashar. His children would be able to go ahead, and they would be the ultimate testimony to that which was Yashar. B'nai Yisrael wind up in slavery, and they were there for a long period in time, until one point when we're told, Vayelach Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi, a man went from the house of Levi, and he married a woman from who is the daughter of Levi. Now, Rabbi Baruch Simon pointed out that we don't identify Moshe's parents until much later, because if we simply noted that he was the son of Amram, we would attribute his existence only to being raised as Amram's son, and not with his own destiny towards greatness transcending human connections. At the same time, Rabbi Mendel Blachman used to tell us that we do recognize that Moshe too had a family in Parshas Vayera, so that we know that we too can have greatness to us as well. Once we know who the great Moshe is, we can also relate to him as a human. One of the great challenges that seems to be debated constantly in Jewish life is, do we need to see our Gedolim as superhumans, or do we need to see them as regular humans so that we can relate? The answer is we got to do both, and that's what we do with Moshe Rabbeinu. It has to be pointed out and focused upon. We're told after Moshe Rabbeinu is born and he runs away, we're told by Ishmaelu Kimes Nakasam, by Yizkorelu Kimes Briso, as Avram, as Yitzchak, as Yaakov, Hashem hears the groans that happened when after great days, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim. The late Novominsky Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Perlhaus, that's how, pointed out that there were two different reasons identified in the Pasuk for the Geula. On the one hand, there were the cries. On the other hand, there was the bris. The reason for the two different times is that the 400 years hadn't fully elapsed, so the bris alone could not have gotten them out as yet. But on the other hand, the tefillah and groans could also not help, since they were so submerged in Egyptian tumah that midas hadin necessitated a withholding of the gift of geula. The same is true for the future redemption, which will be dependent on the bris, yes, but it will also need the koach hatefillah, which will hasten the time of its arrival as well. Vayera Elokim es nakosam. Vayera Elokim es b'nei Yisrael vayid Elokim. Hashem saw b'nei Yisrael and he knew. So in the Haggadah we interpret this pasuk as referring to the disruption of family life. Zu precious derech eretz, we say. Now that's specifically so, since the pasuk is quite vague. Rav Schachter would remind us that in a world that's so full of pritzas, where everything is spoken about rather specifically and explicitly, the Torah demands that matters relating to intimacy have a sense of tzinius about them and not be discussed so openly. You see, the way of Torah life is to be somewhat discreet when discussing family life, and so when it appears vague, the implication is towards those areas, and that's why in the Haggadah we point out Zu Pritzas, that's a reference to Prisha's Derech Eretz. So, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is in Midian, and Hashem has a debate with him at the Sneh, and then finally Hashem tells him, Hinehu Yotzei L'Krasacha, he says, take a look, there's Aaron. After Hashem gets exasperated with Moshe Rabbeinu's refusals, he says, okay, what about Aaron Achecha Alevi? You should know that he's coming, Hinehu Yotzei L'Krasacha, he's coming to greet you, Beracha B'Samach B'Libo, he's going to see you, he's going to be so happy. And the Medrash notes that had Aaron known what the Torah's description of his greeting was going to be, he would have gone out with a full parade. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to tell his students that when the Sefer Leshem Shvo VeAchlama, a great Kabbalistic work, came out, it was written by one of the ancestors of the late great Rebbe Yashiv Zatzal, so the Ben Ish Chai, who was in Baghdad, told the students to put on Shabbos clothes and go greet their writer. The writer wasn't in Baghdad. That meant walking to Yerushalayim. And the author of the Leshem told Rav Aryeh Levine that had he known of the impact of the Sefer, he would have written a second volume. And so, in response, Rav Shlomo Zalman told the students that if this was the impression of the author of the Leshem Shlomo Achlama and the impact it would have had on him, then we have to be very careful to be aware of the impact others make, and we make on others, and we have to encourage them as well. Sometimes we're so quick to be dismissive, you should just, of things we appreciate, go over, tell somebody, I appreciate what you're doing. Because if you go ahead and you do that, it will encourage them as well. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we go out of our way to stand up for the Mevi'ei Bikurim. Yeah, everyone brings Bikurim, but we want them to come back again. For the people who come to tell us about the coming of the Rosh Chodesh, we don't want them to be Nechshal La'asid Lavo. So we're also told that Moshe Rabbeinu took his wife and his children, and he had them ride on the donkey. You know, the Gemara Megillah on Daf Tes Amid Beis that notes that one of the changes that all 70 Chachamim made when they were writing the Septuagint was to translate donkey into Nosei B'nei Adam, carrier of people. And Rashi and Tosfos explained that they did so in order to prevent the Greeks from saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to be carried on by horse or camel. Now, of course, they didn't do the same thing with Avraham Avinu, who was wealthier, and yet he rode on a donkey and not a horse or a camel on the way to the Akedah. Why not? And by the way, why highlight the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took his family if he was only going to send them back, and they wouldn't be there for a Geulas Mitzrayim? So Rabbi Chil Yitzchak Perl, Rosh Yeshiva Farakaway, suggested that Moshe was sending a message to the people's belief in the imminent Geula, and as much that he really believed that he took his whole family to be a part of it. His intention was to benefit the people who were alive in the process, so hence, he took the family. However, that he used a donkey and not a horse might inspire foreign cynics to say that it was only a donkey, and thus he was hedging his bets. And so thus they made the change. All of them, to show that no, he took Nosei B'nei Adam. Avraham Avinu was only inspiring himself and his own future, so it wouldn't impact the people in his time, so his use of a donkey was not a big deal that had to be changed in the Septuagint. It carried ramifications, because that's also identified as the donkey of Mashiach Tzidkenu. There is a certain sense about donkeys in general. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're going to read the Shabbos, we read from Sefer Yishayahu, and we're told, Uluruach mishpat leyoshev ala mishpat v'ligvura mishivei milchama shara, and for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for those who might bring back the war to the gate, the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes that Ruach Mishpat refers to one trying to rule over his Yetzirah. Ligvura refers to one who defeats the Yetzirah. Where's the difference between Ruach Mishpat and Gvura? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explained that Koach and Gvura are different things. Koach is natural strength. Gvura is supernatural strength that gets called upon in special circumstances. When one goes through daily life with a Yetzer that uses regular strength, so he has the ability to respond with regular Koach to defeat it. However, in those extraordinary times when the Yetzer Hara fights with exponentially extreme strength, we need to rise to the need of the day with our own extraordinary strength too, and we're gifted with that. That's what Gevurah is all about. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us the Gevurah and the Koach to to be able to deal with daily life and supernatural life, to bring us not only from the gulas of the past, but to bring us to the ultimate gula. Shabbat shalom to all.